Hi, and welcome to Seeing Climate Change, the podcast that explores climate change through visual art, personal reflection, science, and conversation. I'm Alex, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Hannah.
This episode, inspired by the William Benton Museum of Art's Seeing Climate Change exhibition, Natalie Bolt talks with UConn's own Dr. Elias Uden about how to make cows a little more environmentally friendly. Let's join him.
Hi everyone, my name is Natalie Bolt and I'm an undergraduate digital media and design major here at UConn. Imagine it's a warm summer day and you just ordered a scoop of Husky Tracks on a cone. The friendly chatter of other customers and fun photo stand of UConn's beloved mascot, Jonathan the Husky, makes the UConn Dairy Bar not just a place to satisfy your sweet tooth, but also a haven where the stresses of the academic day disappear with each bite of indulgent ice cream. I'm sure that every student here at UConn has tried the infamous Dairy Bar ice cream or seen the cows roaming around on Horse Barn Hill. Some might even know about the Kellogg Dairy Center, a student and faculty-run facility where both milk production and research by students and faculty occur on a wide range of topics. However, did you know that the cows behind your beloved toasted almond amaretto and salted caramel crunch ice cream are one of the top 20 herds in the country for animal health and milk quality? These cattle are pretty special as one of the only two university cattle herds to make the Hordes list. And these content cows can be found grooming themselves with the brush-adorned barn doors or running around on the fields. Today I will be joined by Dr. Elias Uden, an assistant professor here at the University of Connecticut, who is kind enough to tell us about his research here in the area of greenhouse gas mitigation strategies.
My name is Elias Uden. I'm an assistant professor at UConn Animal Science Department. And I started at UConn in fall 2023, so very recently. But before that, I was a faculty member at a different institute, so I moved from somewhere. And before that, I did a postdoc at University of California, Davis, and did my PhD in Wisconsin Medicine. So during my grad school and postdoc, I mostly focuses on evaluating different greenhouse gas mitigation strategies research. And before that, I was in Europe for doing my master's, and I did my undergrad back home in Bangladesh. So I'm originally from Bangladesh, and I grew up in a crop livestock integrated farms. That's how I got interested in animals, seeing animals during my childhood.
Throughout the world, dairy cattle contribute around 2% of global warming emissions through enteric, meaning intestinal, and waste fermentation. Cows are ruminants, signified by the four chambers to their stomachs. The rumen, which is the first chamber, is home to a complex ecosystem of microorganisms, and it's where enteric fermentation takes place. As the bacteria are broken down into carbohydrates through this process, harmful gases such as carbon dioxide and methane are produced, and these harmful gases make their way out of the cow and into the atmosphere.
There are a couple of strategies. Before going into the strategies, I just wanted to make sure that enteric emission is a part of the emission that comes from the animal's stomach, right? Also, you have to understand that enteric emission is coming from the ruminants mostly. So ruminant has the stomach that has a lot of microbes, and those microbes produces methane during fermentation of forages. So ruminants uniquely can convert forages into high quality milk. And during this process, they produce methane that is responsible for climate change. But you have to also remember that overall dairy sector only produces 2% of the total US greenhouse gas emission. So it's not like damaging the whole planet. It's only 2% emission comes from dairy industry. In terms of mitigation strategies, we have three different categories of strategies. For example, you can have a better feeding strategies for the animals, and there are a couple of chemical compounds. You'll be surprised that seaweed has shown that is one of the potential strategies. So feeding seaweed can help to reduce enteric methane as well. Other than that, better quality feed and feeding more grains can help to reduce enteric methane. Better genetics of the animals, that means better efficient animals means less methane. In other words, you can also reduce less productive animals or diseased animals from the herd. In that way, you can improve efficiency, and that will help you to reduce emissions. So there should be multiple strategies. There is no single solution, or there is no silver bullet for reducing enteric methane. I also want to mention that we have been involved in a project where we are collecting data from the animals, because we are moving towards more data-driven industry, right? So we try to utilize those data to improve the management decision, so we can improve the efficiency of the animals, so that will help to reduce carbon footprint as well. So once you feed cows certain diet, right, your goal is to reduce methane from the cows, but that can also result in decrease or increase in manure emission, because your manure composition might change. At the same time, when you change diet, for example, if you feed more grain, you have to produce more grain in the crop field, right? So crop related emission changes. So holistic life cycle assessment takes into account of all sources of emission throughout the whole value chain of the milk. So feed production related emission, animal emission, that is enteric methane, manure emission, and as well as we have to run the farm, right, with the electricity and other fossil fuel. So those are also accounted. So holistic life cycle assessment basically account for all the emission sources and do the holistic evaluation. In that way, you can determine the carbon footprint of milk and other product. For the beef, it could be the meat.
As Dr. Uden mentioned, there are many factors that can lead to changes in enteric fermentation, and therefore an increase in global gases emitted from the cattle. One of these factors includes the type and amount of methane-producing bacteria found in a cow's stomach, and this is related to its genetic makeup. Studies have shown that scientists may be able to breed cows that have less of these bacteria in their stomach, leading to the birth of genetically modified cows that produce less methane. The Kellogg Dairy Center here at UConn is a great example of how research and care can benefit cow health as well as reducing the production of harmful gases. The cows live openly in the barn and have lots of field space to roam. Their specialized diet consists of total mixed ration, which is mixed on-site and consists of UConn-produced cornmeal, canola meal, sodium bicarbonate, alfalfa hay, and rumen bypass fat. This helps keep weight on the cows during peak lactation to ensure good milk quality, and they also incorporate a custom blend of additional protein, vitamins, and minerals for the cow's overall health.
The dairy industry in the U.S. has set a goal to reduce carbon to make the industry carbon neutral by 2050. That means all of our efforts will help to do that. And other things that I just wanted to mention, that although we are contributing to improve our system more sustainable, but overall, agriculture sector only produces 10% of the total greenhouse gases, and dairy sector produces only 2% of it, right? So we can make so little changes, but we also have to think about big sector like transportation sector, electricity sector, which contribute together roughly 50% of the total greenhouse gases. So we can make a huge difference by making changes in those areas as well. But obviously, our effort will help to reduce footprint at the end of the day, that it will help to reduce greenhouse gas emissions.
A great point that Dr. Uden brought up is that although dairy cattle do make a contribution to greenhouse gas emissions, their part is quite small in the grand scheme of climate change, and steps are being made by researchers just like him in order to create a more sustainable future for agriculture. So the next time that you indulge in a scoop of ice cream from the UConn Dairy Bar, rest assured that it's not only a sweet treat for your taste buds, but a product of care and dedication that goes into both the cow's well-being and educational mission of places like the Kellogg Dairy Center's research on encouraging positive changes in the industry.
What is your favorite flavor of ice cream at the dairy bar?
So as I mentioned, I have been in this Yukon Dairy Bar a couple of times with some guests and visitors, and they have plenty of options. But literally, I always go with the vanilla because vanilla is my favorite ice cream. But at South Dakota State, they also had an ice cream bar. I used to try the cream and cookies, so that was also my favorite.
And finally, what is the funniest thing that you've seen a cow do?
The tongue twisting of the Jersey cow. There's also a lot of interest in that. I believe there's a Canadian researcher who did study why do they do that. That's very funny. We have seen that. They get out of whole tongue and twist it and play with that. That's very unique.
Thank you for listening. Check out the show notes for more information about the topics covered in this episode and for a link to the William Benton Museum of Art's website.
The Benton is the official art museum for the state of Connecticut, and admission is always free for all visitors. The museum is located on the University of Connecticut's Storrs campus and is open Tuesday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. But make sure to check the website for updated hours before you arrive. We encourage you to visit.
The Seeing Climate Change podcast is a production of the Fall 2023 cohort of the Digital Media and Design and History Department's course, Collaborating with Cultural Institutions, taught by Professor Clarissa Seglio. This podcast was produced in collaboration with the William Benton Museum of Art and with the support of WHUS Radio. The series theme music was composed and performed by our own Alexander Filippidis.
Before we sign off, we hope that you will check out the other episodes in this series. Thank you again, and see you in the next episode.